Good evening, everyone, and a very warm welcome to this joint service with Wilmslow Methodist Church and Wilmslow United Reformed Church. It's really lovely to have everyone here this evening, and a special welcome to guest members who are part of our choir for this evening. Just to say that at the end of the service, there'll be mince pies and coffee served in the church lounge, so do stay and join us if you can. Also, I'm going to do it now just to get it out of the way. When it comes to lighting the candles in the service, when yours is lit, keep it held upright, and when you light from another, you do the moving. Just keep it upright so you don't pour the wax over everybody. But we'll come to that later in the service. But now I'm going to invite Luna to come and light our Advent candles, which have been part of our countdown through Advent, on our Advent journey. So we light the first Advent candle, reminding us of God's promise of hope. We light our second candle for the prophets, foretelling the coming of the Prince of Peace. Our third candle for John the Baptist, who led the way and called people to turn to Jesus. And today, our fourth candle for Mary, who had the courage to say yes and bear Jesus. Thank you.
Some words from the prophet Isaiah in chapter 9.
The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shined. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, the Prince of Peace. We sing our first carol, number 212, and we don't sing the final verse. O come, all ye faithful.
our prayers, which will be on the screen. Invite you to join in the words in the bold type. The joy of the season is upon us. The time is almost here. We have come to praise the Lord. We are here to sing praises to God, the Holy One in whom we place our trust. God opens our eyes and lifts us up. Earth-dwelling God, willing to be made small and vulnerable, choosing to live with the ordinary people on earth, we come before you in wide-eyed wonder. We join in with the stars as they sing for joy. Our hearts echo the music of angels, which filled the skies on the night of your birth. With outrageous humility, you share our humanity. You are our God made flesh, revealed among us for all to see, and it takes our breath away. As we gather again to celebrate your birth and proclaim your love, may your peace fill our world and joy transcend all fear. And may we ever find you at one with your people, sharing our pain, making us whole. Let us praise God, who reigns forever. Amen. We hear our first reading of the angel bringing news to Mary.
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favoured one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words, and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy, and he will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her, who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And the angel departed from her.
Going to see a painting. It's a painting by Henry Asana Tanner. It looks a fairly contemporary painting, but it was painted over 100 years ago. I invite you to look for a moment. What do you see? Certainly just an ordinary young girl. How would we respond to the invitation to bear God's light? Are we open to receive the light? piece we're going to hear now from the choir is Waiting for Bethlehem's Light. Dream that Joseph heard.
Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through his prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife. But he had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus.
Why Bethlehem? It's part of God's long perfected plan for what we call the incarnation, God born as one of us. Part of that plan that God's Son needs to be born somewhere. Shouldn't it be somewhere big and famous? Surely Jerusalem, the holy city, the place where you find Mount Zion, the home of the temple and of the Holy of Holies, surely Jerusalem should be the place where this special baby should be born. But God has had other plans from the beginning, carefully laid plans, that it should be Bethlehem where the Messiah is to be born. Not a large place at all. Not a central place, though quite near to Jerusalem. And not totally forgotten, because the prophets know that Bethlehem is going to be a special place in God's purposes. Not least among the clans and tribes of Judah. Our world knows a lot about competition between clans and tribes, and a lot about local rivalries. When I was living in Blackburn, the maternity unit there closed, and all the babies were to be born there from then onwards in the maternity unit in Burnley. There are still ructions about that, 12 years later. In God's purposes, Bethlehem is the place, a surprising place, but the one place where Jesus will be born. And just in the last day, Banksy, the artist, has created a new piece of art within Bethlehem, which we have an image of, I think. The star-shaped hole above the nativity scene is a reminder of the tension and violence still in Bethlehem today, and of the wall that divides Bethlehem, contemporary Bethlehem, from Jerusalem. And that star above them is actually a symbol of a missile passing through the wall, and showing that God's love is able to cross through all the boundaries and barriers of difference our world keeps on creating. The wall is still there, but we can pierce it when we remember God's love made human in Jesus, the child of Bethlehem. We sing our next carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem.
Town of Bethlehem.
seated. Something really special to be in a place where there's no light pollution, when you can truly enjoy the splendour of the stars. The study of the stars was quite developed even 2,000 years ago. At that time, something important happening on Earth was expected to be reflected in the heavens and vice versa. Some believe that at that point the stars of Jupiter and Saturn had come together, producing the most incredible bright star. The wise men would have understood Jupiter to be a royal planet and Saturn the star of Israel. Their coming together clearly pointed to a new king of Israel. They had courage to follow that star, to be led by it. The star granted them wisdom to avoid Herod and led them to a place of wisdom and humility in recognizing the presence of God and kneeling down in worship. The banner over there says, "Wise men still seek him." Our Christmas labyrinth recently gave people the chance to reflect on the stars of Christmas, including those people who are stars in our lives, for the way in which they reflect light and love to us. I wonder who have been those people for you who have guided you, encouraged you, and loved you. May we both keep Jesus as our guiding star. And may we also find ways to be stars, to reflect and guide and encourage our young people and others in their journeying. We hear the song, "One Star."
hear the reading of Jesus' birth.
In those days, a decree went out from the Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration, and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged, and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in bands of cloth, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
This is an image that fascinates me. The artist is a Jesuit, and so well used to using his imagination to try to get underneath the surface of the stories of God we read in the Bible. And just where we would expect there to be a baby in the manger, the artist puts a Bible. What's going on? He's a German artist, so the words of the first chapter of John's Gospel are there in German. And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. We think that Joseph was a carpenter. In fact, the word tekton could be translated just as easily as builder, because in the time of Jesus, building a house required skills with woodwork as much as anything else. I wonder whether Joseph ever turned his hand to making a manger. Well, it would have been a very simple thing to make a manger. It didn't require a lot of skill. A vital but a very ordinary piece of everyday equipment. The place where you put the food for the animals. And very likely, in most households, there would have been animals kept under part of the same roof as the family. And if you go to country museums nowadays and see mid-15th century farmhouses, you'll often discover a part of the farmhouse where animals would have been kept, particularly in cold weather, to be out of the way of the wind and the rain and creating an amount of heat for the human beings living there. It was probably in that sort of setting that the manger was, where Jesus was placed after his birth. But what is the artist up to here? I think he's challenging us to think about the different understandings we have of the identity of Jesus. John's Gospel describes Jesus as the Word of God, the living Word, and Jesus himself, in John's Gospel, talks about himself as the bread of life. There's a sense in which we are fed by the presence of Jesus, nourished by Jesus in our lives. And when we receive the bread and wine at communion, we remember that.
And when we read the word and feel it touching our hearts and helping us to make sense of our lives, we're being fed in that way too. And there's another layer of meaning which connects us back to Bethlehem. The name Bethlehem, the Hebrew, means house of bread. So born and placed in a manger in Bethlehem, Jesus is food for our bodies, food for our souls and our minds, and there placed in a very ordinary setting, but accessible to us, the Son of God. We sing our next song, Love Came Down at Christmas. I've loved since I was first introduced to it by the Indian artist called Jyoti. There's a lot of meaning hidden within that picture, but I've always felt it speaks to me of Mary's decision to say yes, to bear Jesus, to carry him for those 9 months. It also speaks to me of incarnation, of God choosing to come and be amongst us. But it also speaks to me of Jesus modelling incarnation for us, setting a pattern of incarnation for body and spirit to be joined, and an invitation for us to all bear Jesus in our lives, or to carry his love and light and spirit within us. St. Paul wrote to the Ephesians that in Christ you are being built into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Augustine said, you are the body of Christ, you are the incarnation too. Let God's Spirit live in you, be joined in body and in spirit as Jesus came to show and invite us to. Christmas, an amazing time for us to reflect on that invitation for us to carry and house God's love and light within us, to bear and carry him in every day of our life. Choir are going to sing for us the Infant King.
Thank you.
message brought to the shepherds.
In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favours." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them.
Shepherds were on the edge of society, unable to attend worship due to long hours out with their flocks. They were therefore deemed unworthy, unclean, looked down upon, not good enough to be witnesses at court, disregarded, though some were also given the job of finding the purest lambs and protecting them for temple sacrifice. St. Luke, who stresses Jesus' ministry on the margins, highlights this call from the very beginning, and in doing so reminds us that if the least of these are worthy, so are we. Wherever we are coming from, whatever our history, our background, we are invited to equally valued, cherished, and worthy in his sight. The shepherds found a baby rather than a king as they would have expected, a baby in need of human care. Trevor Dennis writes that as we kneel at the manger, we find ourselves with a God who does not threaten or condemn, but a God we can hold in our arms. A God who does not wish to be left out in the cold and needs the warmth of our hospitality and care. A God who comes very close and makes himself at home, who stands on no ceremony and has no majesty, except the majesty of love. A God who is accessible to all and who brings those on the edge of society into the centre of his circle. A God crying in the world's dark, whose tears we must dry. A God who seems so small, so vulnerable, and yet is large enough to hold the universe in his embrace. Going to hear now those words from St. John's Gospel that were pictured on that manger scene.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. Amen.
And now we symbolise our decision to receive that Christ light into our lives by lighting our candles. And so I invite you with your candle to receive the light of your neighbour and share the light. Let us be still in the presence of God, who has come from a holy dwelling place to a humble stable, to be at home with us.
Let us be still in the presence of God,
who has come to us from the safety of a woman's womb to run the risk of human living.
Let us be still in the presence of God, who has come to us in the pain of labour, in the blood of new birth, to proclaim a new heaven and a new earth.
Let us be still in the presence of God, who has spoken to us in the startled cry of infant lungs, sucking in the cold night air.
Let us be still in the presence of God, who has spoken to us in the gurgling contentment of a baby, fed and warmed at a mother's breast.
Let us be still in the presence of God, who lies wide open to us, helpless and dependent, in a woman's arms.
Let us be still
before the wonder and mystery of God in human flesh.
God in touch, God of light.
God's light shining in time and eternity.
Going to hear now the peace. So Jesus, let your love come down. You may wish to blow out your candles up to you. Before our final carol. Unlooked for, Christ comes. to shepherds watching their sheep through the long dark night, he comes with the glory of the angel's song and in the humility of the manger. Loving God, we pray for our community here in Wilmslow and in the places where we live. In the midst of our everyday lives, surprise us with glimpses of the glorious, humble love at the heart of existence. Lord, come to your people. In your mercy, set us free.
To the wise and powerful, star led to Bethlehem, seeking a king, he comes, child of Mary, crowned with meekness, worthy of every gift. Loving God, we pray for the leaders of the world. Guide them with your light to the true wisdom of justice and peace, of freedom and respect for every human life. Lord, come to your people. In your mercy, set us free.
Longed for, Christ comes. To Anna and Simeon, whose days are lived in faithful expectation, he comes. A new life to the old, a living prophecy of hope. Lord God, we pray for the church in all the world. Unite us by your Spirit and make us faithful witnesses to the hope we have in you. Lord, come to your people.
In your mercy, set us free. Prayed for, Christ comes. To men and women, girls and boys, crying out in darkness, pain and loneliness, he comes, baptized, at one with us, our Saviour, healer, and friend. Loving God, we pray for those whose lives are hard and painful, or whose existence is sorrowful, bitter, or empty. In their need, may they know your healing touch, reaching out to comfort, strengthen, and restore. Lord, come to your people. In your mercy, set us free.
Unlooked for and searched for.
Longed for and prayed for. Loving God, come to us now as you have come to your people in every age. We thank you for all who have reflected the light of Christ. Help us to follow their example and bring us with them to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
And we sing our final carol. Hark the herald, angels sing.
Oh,
before the blessing, just a couple of things. You're very welcome to attend any of the services at either of our churches in the next coming days, but we will be joining together again for a midnight service on Christmas Eve at the URC Church at 11:30. Be very welcome if you're able to stay up and join us then. Again, reminder to stay for coffee and mince pie and share together. A big thank you to the choir and especially for Joan for all her hard work in putting everything together and leading the choir. And finally, our retiring offering this evening is for Action for Children. And so may the wisdom of the wonderful counsellor guide you.
The strength of the mighty God uphold you.
The love of the everlasting Father enfold you.
The joy of the Prince of Peace be yours.
This Christmas tide and forever. Amen.